Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. You know, it's amazing that people have the audacity and seemingly the liberty to edit the Word of God. The Bible has 90-some warnings in it about editing the Word of God. Just one of those says in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, if any man shall add unto these things, listen to this, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. I heard a man on Facebook, I just happened to stumble across it, and he spent a good amount of time teaching about baptism, not about a certain kind, just baptism. He was against baptism because he said it altered your faith, and he was so determined that we're saved by faith alone. Jesus said, if you believe, you will obey my commandments. If you're not obedient, then you don't have faith, and faith is what saves us. So it's amazing how things are edited out. They're no longer important. And praise would be one of those things that most churches would be editing out as not important. You may be seated. So I've talked about all the various areas of praise. Tonight I want to talk about the supernatural power of high praise. To understand the power and importance of the text, we must be able to distinguish between praise and high praises. What does the phrase, let the high praise of God be in their mouth, even mean? In the first place, as you study this, and it takes some study to find and pull it all out, that high praise is not something that developed, but it's something that you're invited to by God. God invites you to become a high praiser. It's like when you look at a squad of people, we used to have in school what they call pep rallies before the ball games. We'd go in there, a thousand of us. But there was always some people out in front of us that was to lead us in those cheers for our basketball team in Mooresville, Indiana. But they were the ones that were special at it. But that was by invitation only. You didn't just get up there and do that. You were invited to do that. And I know the Bible said that God is no respecter of persons, but he respects so many other things. He respects faith. He respects giving. He respects love. He respects trust. And he also respects praise. Praise makes a big impression on God. So it's by invitation only. You remember when Jesus shut everybody out, he invited Peter, James, and John to be included with him. He was inclusive of them. There was something special about them. When the Holy Spirit is pleased with your praise to the point of excellence, then you receive an invitation of the Spirit. That praise that is exceptional, even the more so, like Bartimaeus, when they ask him to be quiet. You're too loud, even the more so. And he got the attention of Jesus Christ. The children crying out got the attention of Jesus Christ. Casting garments and coats for the little donkey to walk on that was carrying Jesus, that got the attention of Christ. Jesus never condemned extreme praise, but religion did. Men did, and the same is true today. God does not condemn extreme praise, but religion will. And so we are to realize that God literally loves people that praise him, and people that praise him extremely and extremely well. He gives to them an invitation, extends to them an invitation to come to a higher place. What the Scripture describes as perfected praise. He said, hearest thou these? Jesus said, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Perfected not only by practice, but also by the honesty and the purity and the sincerity of childlikeness. Then comes the invitation. In prayer, it's called the secret place of thunder in the Scripture. In praise, in the Bible, it's called high or higher. A higher place, high praises. The Bible talks about it in Revelation chapter 4. It says it this way, talking about John, John the Apostle, the Revelator, the one that had the great relationship with God. He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which saith, come up higher, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. High praise literally puts us in the front line. It's the tribe of Judah. All the tribes of Israel praised God, but it was Judah that was the high praisers, the ones that were always camped nearest the tabernacle door, the ones that were always the forefront of the battle. They were high praisers. Put us in a league of its own. It's the Syrophoenician woman that will not take no for an answer. It is the men, when denied at the door, tore the roof off to get their friend in the presence of Jesus. It's Jacob wrestling through the night with an angel to obtain the blessing to match the birthright. There are people who come to God and resist praising God. There are others that are just caught up in the tidal wave of praise. They didn't really come with an intention, but the music gets good. The rhythm is great. Other people, are, after a while, they're praising the Lord a little. But there are people that are so addicted to the high praise of God that they come to the house of God for the sole purpose of lifting Jesus Christ to their highest ability and their greatest capacity. These are people that do not praise God just for an hour and a half on Wednesday or Sunday. These are people that praise God continuously. The Davids of this generation that find time to praise God 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 times a day. They're high praisers. The praisers of praisers is who they are. High praise entitles one to see what others can only imagine. He was invited. John was invited by Jesus. Come up higher. There's a place where you learn to pray and talk to the Lord. There's a place where you learn to praise God, and you become so adept at it and so comfortable with it. It becomes such a part of you that Jesus takes notice that you are an excellent praiser. So invite you to come up higher. Higher than the normal praiser, and there are tremendous benefits of that. High praise entitles one to see what others only imagine. I suppose it could be this way. I imagine it might be that way. But those that praise God until they do what John did, the Bible said when the Lord said, come up higher, and he began to praise God, what happened? The Bible said he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There's some people that get in the Spirit that the Spirit never gets in them. There's other people that get the Spirit in them, but they never get in the Spirit. But there are a few of us that not only get in the Spirit, but the Spirit gets in us. And that Spirit in us causes us to be a super praiser, a high praiser. It's not something that we are coerced to do. It's not something that we're forced to do. It's not something that we do because we feel like we're duty-bound to do so. But it is literally, as David said, it is the fullness of joy to praise God, to give Him glory. And when we don't praise God, we feel like we've missed several meals. When we don't praise God, we feel like we have not had our thirst quenched. There is something about our very being that has become addicted to the presence of the Lord and getting in God's Spirit that demands from ourselves that we become not just nominal praisers, but exquisite praisers, high praisers, people that are searching for ways to praise Him all the time. Those that you love, you like to surprise them with gifts and benefits if you really love them. And if you're truly in love with the Lord, you like to find new ways to praise God in ways that you have never praised Him before. New songs. That's the reason why the Bible said praise Him and gives us all. It said praise Him in a new song. That would be for a high praiser. Somebody that literally writes their own song that might not be adequate in a church service and might not be accepted in a group, but it's just something between you and the Lord that you write. There's nothing cornier and then worse than hearing two people that are in love call each other by their little pet names. It's inappropriate. It's sickening. It's nauseating. But people that are in love do that and enjoy it. And so there should be a praise with you that is so intimate with the Lord then it would be absolutely appalling and offensive to anybody else if they were near. It's just you and the Lord. It's called high praises. And so when that happens, you see some things. The Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting up on a throne, high and lifted up. And then this is the good part of that. When I saw him high and lifted up, you will never see him high and lifted up unless you're a high praiser. But when I saw him high and lifted up because I praised him in a high way, then what happened? His train filled the temple. That was a physical tabernacle, a physical temple. But what now? The Bible said, what? Know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so when you praise God in that high manner, then the train fills the temple, which you are now the temple. And what is the train? The train is all of the attributes of Almighty God, all of His love, His Spirit, His power, His glory, His mighty force that begins to fill you, and you see things that other people simply cannot see. Number two, high praise equips one to speak with the fire of authority. He said, there I saw the Lord high and lifted up, His train filled the temple. And he said, then flew one of His seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. What does that mean? That God literally gives you, when you become a high praiser, He becomes you, gives you an anointed tongue. What does that mean? That you now have, by speaking, the authority over demons. The Bible said they were amazed and said about Jesus, never heard we a man speak like this. And so when you become a high praiser, you see the Lord high and lifted up. There is an unction that comes on you, and your praise is now transformed into a language that can be a heavenly language, or you can just become very articulate in your first language, and suddenly there is an anointing and an authority on your tongue, which means demons are subdued, and they can't do what they come to do to you or to your family. They cannot address you. They cannot come in and harass you. They cannot steal from you like they do from people. And the second part of that is that you also have the power by the authority of your lips and your mouth and your words to speak to angels and release them. And the Bible calls them the Aaron runners, or the heirs of salvation. You can actually speak to angels and begin to command those angels, because the Bible said we were created a little lower than the angels. But when Christ saved you, we skipped over the angels, and now we are closer to God than the angels are. And that's the reason why the angels are Aaron runners of salvation, for the heirs of salvation, is because now we can command them. That means if you've got a mama that's not saved, you can say to your angel, I want you to go and stay with my mama till she gets saved. Just keep being with her. Just keep talking to her. Just keep whispering to her, and she gives her life to Christ. You have that kind of authority if you're a high praiser, and if you see the Lord high and lifted up, and if His train fills your temple, and if your lips have been anointed with a hot coal from the altar of God, you have a tremendous authority and a fire of authority that the world certainly does not have, and even many believers do not have that. They just have no desire for that, no appetite for that. I'm talking about high things. I'm talking about things that people that are here on a Wednesday night would have a quest for. Those that come two Sundays out of the month wouldn't be interested in what I'm talking about. But those of you that come every Sunday, those of you that come every Wednesday, those of you that have your own prayer time, those of you that have a Bible that you actually read, those of you that have a praise habit where you praise God several times a day, this is for you as a high praiser that, praise God, I can see what other people will never see in their life. And when I do, it will just cause me to be ecstatic in the Spirit. I'll be in the Spirit, and praise God, I'll be like John. I'll be in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I'll see the Lord high and lifted up, and then His train will fill me, and then the coal will touch my lips, and I will begin to speak words. I'll speak words to people that are not there. I'll talk to my boss, and he's 12 miles away. But when I get there, praise God, he's going to say, I've been thinking, maybe you deserve a raise. He don't know why he's doing that. I told you one of my favorite phrases in the entire world, and it is a phrase that I hear often. I hear it in the business world time and time and time again. And when they say, I know the Lord is working, when they say, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's my favorite phrase in the business world. I don't know why I'm doing this, but we're going to give you the loan. I don't know why we're doing this, but we're going to buy that property. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to take that offer you just made. I know, praise God, that I have already saw the Lord. Because I'm a praiser, not just here, but I'm a David praiser, a Davidic praiser. Hallelujah. I love to praise God. Just walk out in the pasture and there's nobody there. Just praising God. Get my pickup truck or my car. Just praising God. Because I know when I do that, things are happening. Hallelujah. The Lord is high and exalted in my life. The Bible said, lift him up and he will draw men. Thank God. Not only will it draw men to Jesus, it will draw the right people to you. It'll draw the people that are going to give to your bosom. Somebody said, well, nobody ever gives to my bosom. Well, that's because you never draw anybody because you're not a praiser. But if you become a praiser of God, your words take on mighty weight. It silences demons. It releases angels. It affects men. Praise God. And suddenly people are coming to you and doing good things for you. Why is that? Because you are a high praiser and God gives you tremendous fire of authority in your words. Number three, high praise enables one to hear the voice of God. Look, nobody else. That's probably one of the key things that people have asked me over the years. How do I hear the voice of God? If you never talk to God, it's probably a little bit ambitious on your part to believe that He's going to constantly talk to you. Do you ever talk to somebody and they don't answer? How long do you talk to them when they don't answer? Not very long. If you can't get response, you've got to make an assumption. Either they're mad, they don't like you, or they're hard of hearing. They can't hear you. And so somebody said, well, you know, I just, God doesn't speak to me like He does you. God speaks to me every day. Jesse Duplantis gets criticized because of his preaching. He said, the Lord said to me, Jesus said to me, just makes people mad. That's people that never hear the voice of Jesus. I love to hear Jesse's stories and what the Lord tells him. But that only happens to people that are in communication with the Lord. If you are a high praiser, it enables you to hear the voice of God. John said in Revelation 1, I was in the Spirit. Remember? Remember he saw him? Remember, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and then he said, I heard me behind me a great voice as a trumpet. That's always the way it is. You begin to praise God, and then His voice comes to you, and you begin to hear the voice of God, and it begins to have great direction in your life. We do not have to live in a pattern of mistakes. There is a God that will lead and guide us. There's a God that will speak to us. There's a God that will direct us. There's a God that will give you secrets that other people don't know. There's a God that will give you verbal commands that other people can never hear because they're not high praisers. I promise you, if you become a high praiser, that God will not sit there mutely, and God will not sit there dumbly, and God will not sit there deaf, and God will not sit there and respond. God does respond, and He responds greatly to high praise. And He prays, and he responds by showing Himself. He responds by filling the temple with his train and His abilities and His virtues. And He responds by speaking to you. And friend, one of the greatest things in this world is when you finally get to that place where you never, ever feel alone a day in your life. that you can testify with the apostle and say, he is an ever-present help. He never leaves me. Every day I see the hand of God in my life. Every day I see the power of God in my life. Every day I feel the manifestation of God in my life. But not only that, praise God, God speaks to me. It might not be audible to other people that are around me, but it's just as audible as the voice of your spouse. It is a voice that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt. It never contradicts the will of God. It never contradicts the word of God. But suddenly you hear the voice of God speaking to you. You don't have to go to a psychiatrist. I lost faith in psychiatrists when I found out most psychiatrists have a psychiatrist. So I lost faith in him at that point in time. You don't have to go pay $150 an hour to lay on a couch. Another thing with a psychiatrist, you do most of the talking, I guess. I've never been to a psychiatrist. We used to have a psychiatrist that came here to church in the old building years ago. He came and he'd bring 10 or 15 people with him, and I didn't know who he was. And so he'd come every Wednesday, every Wednesday night, it'd be him and about 10 or 15 people. And finally, I went and introduced myself, and I said, sir, we're glad to have you and all your friends with you. I see you come every Wednesday night. I've been coming for months. He said, yeah, I'm Dr. So-and-so. And he said, I'm a psychiatrist. And he said, all these people that come with me are all mental patients. He said, not only are they mental patients, he said, they're my worst mental patients. And he said, I found out the only thing that soothes these people is to bring them to this church. He said, it just works wonders in them. Friend, I'm going to tell you that so much what we call demon, what we call mental illness is really demon depravity, demon possession, demon attack. If these people could get in the presence of God, if they could learn how to praise God, they'd be just like the demonic of Gadara. Suddenly they would be worshiping God. Their life would be transformed. We do not know how blessed we are to have the access with knowledge that we have in the presence of Almighty God. We don't have to depend on a psychiatrist. We can literally take all of our cares to him. He said, cast your cares on me. So that's what you do. You cast your cares, and then you begin to praise him. Lord, I cast my cares on you, but God, I know this, that you are able. My greatest problem you can take care of. You are almighty. You're the body healer, the soul saver, the mind fixer. You, Lord, are able. And as we begin to praise him, when we get lost in that praise, then God begins to work supernatural miracles in our life. And friend, I want to tell you that we do a very good job of praising God in this church, but that's easy to do. Because we're kind of like these transgender men that go and engage in the women's sports. It's so much easier for those 200-pound men to beat those little 90-pound girls. They got to do something about that. They're going to ruin female sports totally in this country. And so when we get in the presence of Almighty God, we've suddenly got authority. We've got power, praise God. We begin to lift him up, and every power, every spirit that is trying to work on us is suddenly diminished because we are empowered, because supernatural high praise affects not only God, it affects everything in hell, it affects everything on earth, and most of all, it affects you. It just gives you a revelation of who I am. I see him high and lifted up, and I know I'm created in his image, praise God, and suddenly all of his glory is coming to me, his train is filling me, and thank God the devil is a liar. I am well able to conquer this mountain. I am an overcomer. I'm not a grasshopper. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. That is the result of high praising God. And so we do a great job praising the Lord in this church because we can compare ourselves to churches down the street where they don't praise at all and we feel like we are winning. But oh no, friend, there is a higher level than most people that come to this church will ever find. And you need to find it. You say, well, I'm just not comfortable doing that. Do you have a lock on your bedroom door? Just get in your bedroom and lock the door and begin to practice on your praise and say, God, I want to be a high praiser. Invite me, Lord, to come up higher, because, God, I want more than most people I know. I want the authority. I want to be able to see what you want to show me. I want to be able to see your power. I want to be able to hear your voice. I want to be able to receive your train and your power manifested in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you there are people in this building that are sacrificial praisers. You're mighty praisers, but God is inviting you on this Wednesday night with a relatively small crowd. I want you to come up higher. I want you to begin to learn to praise me in a way that normal people do not praise. I want you to be a Bartimaeus. I want you to cry louder than any other blind man in town. I want you to tear the roof off and bring yourself right down into my presence. I want you to be a Jacob. I want to wrestle with you and you wrestle with me until your name change, until your identity is fixed, until your promise is manifested. That's what God is saying to people in this church right now. Hear the voice of the Lord. And as we come into this building tonight, as we sit here engaging in the Word of God, if you will listen, God will speak to you something that He doesn't speak to anybody else in this building. You know what I've always been amazed about preaching? Is I walk down through the audience, and a lot of people, like, I just, you know, I preach myself silly in here, one in this very building. I mean, I just preach, and I was tuckered out. Man, I preached good that night. And I went right down that aisle, and a gentleman I've never seen before or since, he shook my hand, he said, I enjoyed your little talk. I didn't give a little talk, sir. I bared my soul. I revealed my heart. I cried my tear ducts dry. I sweated until I had no more sweat to give. I enjoyed your little talk. I wish you'd have said, I hated that wild preaching. I could have took that, but I enjoyed your little talk. I wanted to go back and get wilder and crazier. He didn't get it yet. But what I've always been amazed about preaching, you go down the aisle and people say, man, I was blessed today, Pastor. And then somebody stops you inevitably. Somebody stops you and says, you know, when you said so-and-so about so-and-so, that changed my life. And what you realize is you didn't say that, you didn't mean that, but what they said was better than anything you said all the time you was preaching. That's when I know that God takes the foolishness of preaching and literally encases it in His voice and speaks exactly what He's saying, wanting to say to you. And so the point is that everybody in this building is hearing me now. But while I'm doing that, it's not an echo of God's voice. God is speaking. And even while I'm speaking, God will take what I've said and God will begin to make that into something that is very pertinent to you and your lifestyle. And suddenly you will hear the voice of God and you will know unquestionably, I'm doing this. I'm in the will of God. I need to do that. This is what God is telling me to do. And you will be taken into a brand new place where you've never been before, because God is saying to certain people, like He said, Peter, James, and John, He is saying tonight, come up higher, come inside. I want to show you something. I want to show you the power of God. I want to reveal myself to you in a new way. And so John said, in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, suddenly I heard a voice. And he said, He assured me who He was. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. He said, I saw Him. His hair was white like wool. His feet were like shining brass. And he said, He began to speak and said, I am He which was, which is, and which is to come. His voice was like roaring waters. Why was that? Because John was the one that laid on his bosom, the Bible said. He was the high praiser of the apostolic band. He was someone that endeared himself to the Lord. If you want power with God, become a high praiser. Don't be the last one to sing. Don't be the last one to lift your hand. Don't be the last one to stand when people begin to start standing. Praise God, you're the first one to hit your feet. You're the first one to say, hey, the Spirit of God is moving here tonight. I think I'm going to get in on the first load. I'm going to get the first praise in. I'm going to get the first shout in. I don't want anybody to think that I'm a lazy praiser because I am a high praiser. And when I praise God, things happen. When I praise God, suddenly God appears. When I praise God, suddenly the voice of God, suddenly God begins to manifest himself. And I want to encourage this group tonight, which I would think is the cream of the crop of the praisers of Living Way Church. I want to encourage you to take it up a level. I want to encourage you to come up higher, to go up a little notch. You say, well, what if I'm out of order? Jesus never, ever condemned anybody for excellent praise or excited praise or extreme praise. He just said, I will rebuke you, but let them praise. Let them praise. He said, in fact, if they don't praise, I'll find a rock somewhere that will praise me. God is looking for extreme praise. God is looking for high praise. There are things in your life that will never, ever come to pass until you take it up another level and get to a new place in your praise. And when you do, there's going to be doors open. There's going to be miracles happen. There's going to be victories won. There's going to be souls saved. There are going to be doors open. There's going to be bank accounts filled. There's going to be opportunities that manifest simply because God receives the high praise and does things for high praisers that he does not do for other people. Number four, high praise qualifies one to experience God's best. You say, does God have best? Oh, yeah. Yes. I know lots of people that know the Lord. They just don't know him like I know him. They've never experienced the ecstasy of the Lord. They have a calm confidence. But friend, my experience with the Lord exceeds a calm confidence. It's electrified. My experience, there's no experience that I could have in the world would have any more radical effect on me physically than the Spirit of God has already caused me to have. If I were to play the lottery and win it, I couldn't express any more joy than I've expressed when the Spirit of God has come upon me. If somebody bought me a new Rolls Royce and delivered it tomorrow, I could not express any more joy and ecstasy than I've already felt in God's presence. There is no experience in this world that could excel the expressions of ecstasy and joy and power and satisfaction and thrill that I've had in Almighty God. So there is a best. There is a best. There are people that call themselves Christians, and they're just very non-excited about it. Are they going to heaven? Friend, quit asking me that question. I'm not working the gate. That was my friend Lawrence Bishop. He's working the gate. I don't run the gate, but it does pose a question in my mind why they are so unexcited about Jesus and what he has done for them when I am so excited. I can't really harmonize the contrast. I just wonder if what happened to them is what happened to me. Because, oh, happy day when he washed my sins away. I've had big experiences in the Lord. When I got saved and my sins were forgiven, that was a big deal in my life, Brother Warren. When I got baptized, praise God, I was like the fat man that got baptized and displaced all the water and they had to baptize him again. I splashed that water out of the baptistry when I got baptized. I was excited about getting baptized. When I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, oh, it was a life-changing experience for me. When God called me to preach, and now when God heals me, when God works miracles, praise God, when God said yes, when the world was saying no 100 times, that's happened to me. Big deals in my life. And praise God, I say, you know what? I believe I'm finding God's best. God's doing for me what he's doing, not doing for other people. And they tell me that. It's just not working for me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's not working for you like it worked for me. But if I got to choose between the Bible and what he said was going to happen and between your personality, I'll choose the Bible every time. Praise God, because I have found out that God has qualified me to experience his best. And the only reason why I can say it's so much better for me than it is the number of people that I talk with is because I'm a high praiser. I praise God in the morning. I praise God at noon. I praise God in the pasture. I praise God in the pulpit. I praise God in the pew. I praise God in the house. I praise God walking down the street. And the more I praise Him, the more God does in my life. I'm not looking to quit. I'm not looking to slow down. I'm saying, God, let me turn up the velocity of my praise. Let me make it a little louder than it's ever been. Let me make it a little more frequent than it's ever been. And let it have a greater velocity and volume than it's ever had, God. Because as I walk through these last years of my life, God, I want there to be a bigger wake behind me than there's ever been. I want people to be able to say, He's been here. He might not be here now, but I can feel He's been here. Because everywhere He goes, He's such a praiser that angels are with Him, that the Spirit of God is with Him, and God does big things. The Apostle Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. He said, I don't want to brag. And then he switches it like this. He said, I knew a man in Christ. He's talking about himself. He wasn't like Jesse. Jesse don't mind bragging about the Lord. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. He said, I had such an experience in the Lord 14 years ago. I don't know whether I left this earth or I stayed on this earth. He said, I don't know whether it's an out-of-body experience or an in-body experience. That's the way it is. I've heard the voice of God so loud and audible to me, I wouldn't know whether somebody standing next to me could hear it or not. It was that plain to me. Say, was it an audible voice? Oh, it was to me. For he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. There's a place where you can get in the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost and the presence of God becomes more tangible. It becomes more real. It becomes so powerful that it is actually stronger than your flesh. It's stronger than the noise you hear in this world. It's stronger than what you're looking at. God eclipses everything. He picks you up. And he said, that's what John was talking about when he said, I was caught up. I was in the Spirit. Now that's what Paul's talking about. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught me up in the third heaven. I knew such a man. Oh, hallelujah. He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a supernatural aspect to Christianity that most Christians never experience. They never ever feel, they never ever realize, they never ever embrace. But praise God, when you become a high praiser, God will catch you up. When we talk about I'm in the Father's hand, people think that's just a lyric, that's just a poetic word that somebody has written in the Bible. We sing about it, but the truth is it is a literal experience when God reaches down, because high praises have to come from a high place. He lifts you up high and you begin to praise Him, and all of a sudden everything on earth begins to change because you are a high praiser. That's the reason why so many Christians live such dilatory lives, such defeated lives, complain about it all the time. Most Christians talk about trials and temptations more than they talk about victory and triumph. Well, I've just been going through it. Oh, it's been tough. I'll tell you, I didn't know whether I was going to make it. I don't have much of that in my vocabulary, because every day is a victory. Every day is a triumph. Every day is an overcoming. Praise God. Why? Because if it's not going that way, I'm going to begin to praise God until it does. When you give God high praises, things on earth cannot stay as they were. There will be a change in your life on planet Earth. People that were against you will reverse themselves and suddenly be for you. Circumstances that were tragic will suddenly just fade away and dissolve. And those that are not spiritual will say, I never saw any. You're the luckiest guy. It ain't got nothing to do with luck. It has everything to do with high praise in the living Almighty God. Hallelujah. Living in a place where most people never ever visit. That's what my friend Danny Carpenter said. Becky and Steve Fender live in a place I don't even get a visit. I took that as a compliment. Friend, you ought to live in a place where most people never even vacation. Ought to live there in the Spirit of God. Praise should be such a part of your life that you're just praising God in the good times and the bad. When you praise God long enough, strong enough, high enough, after a while, those circumstances just melt and you can't even see the boundaries from one. That's the reason why I said from faith to faith and victory to victory. Praise God. There's no telling how many times I should have got a disease that died, but it cannot exist in the atmosphere of praise. There's a whole lot of things. A whole lot of things that cannot exist in the climate of high praise. Doubt can't live there. Fear can't live there. Poverty can't live there. Bitterness can't live there. Sickness cannot live there. Praise God, you can praise your way. Of all the people that die with cancer, there are testimony after testimony after testimony from doctors. I do not know how. I can't explain it. But that doctor just went, that cancer just went away. What is it? There are certain atmospheres that the devil can't operate in. There are certain atmospheres that sickness can't exist in. There are certain places that doubt will not exist in. And that's what he's saying. Come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. If you're going to live with the pig pen, in the pig pen you got to eat with the pigs. But come up to the Father's house. Things are different here. Become a praiser. Become a praiser. Very few people can get to that place. But Jesus is inviting people in this building right now. Become a high praiser. Not just a praiser, but a high praiser, and I will make you a living spectacle of my grace and my glory and my power, and you will win family to God by what I will do in your life. Give God some praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I got to close. High praise literally gives one power over the devil and gives a person authority with God. It would seem only those, according to the text, it would seem only those that have high praises in their mouth are entitled to have a two-edged sword in their hand. It's not mentioned anywhere else like this. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth. If that happens, then he said, a two-edged sword will be in your hand. What is a two-edged sword? A two-edged sword is the Word of God. The Bible said the Word of God is a two-edged sword. What does that mean? There are so many people that know some scriptures, but it's not effective in their life. People, especially, I listen to a lot of scholars. I used to read a lot after them, but now they're all online, and I can actually watch them. And so many of these guys are so educated, so philosophically brilliant. And they bring that philosophy to the Word of God. And they can just quote scriptures and explain things to you. But you can see there's no joy, there's no power, there's no life. Because they have got the Word of God memorized, but it's not in their hand. It's not effective. It's like having weapons in your safe at home. If you're not there, they're not going to help you in the time of need. And so they simply have it here. David said, I will hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against God. Well, that's a great defense. But something else is even greater when the word of God becomes not a defense that you won't sin, but the word of God becomes an offense to the adversary. You literally have now the two-edged sword in your hand. It only follows those that are high praisers. That means that you have the Word of God now as a real tool in your life. It's a real weapon under your control. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand. And then he says, this is what's going to happen. Execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishment upon the people, bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Execute upon them the judgment written. What does that really mean? That means those people that become high praisers, that God allows them to take the two-edged sword, the Word of God, and actually use it like Jesus used it. When he said, it is written. And when he said it was written, the devil was stymied. He was stunned. He was stopped right there. And so when you become a high praiser and God allows you to take the two-edged sword, not just in your heart, but in your hand, it means now that you can literally stop the devil. And the Bible said that he's a thief. He comes to kill and destroy. Every day, the devil, his kingdom, his demons are trying to solicit and steal from you every day. But he said, if you'll get the two-edged sword, if you become a high praiser and get the two-edged sword, he said, you can bind that devil in fetters. And suddenly things that are nasty and bad and negative and hurtful and threat life-threatening, they won't be affecting you like they're affecting other people. People say, well, how come you don't go through this? How come you don't have this problem? It's because I have a two-edged sword in my hand. And when the devil looks at somebody and they've just got a little scripture quoted committed to memory, he said, well, that's something I might be able to take. But when he sees somebody that's a high praiser and they're already standing there with a two-edged sword in their hand, he said, I think I'll go to the next house. I think I'll go down the street. I think I'll go across town, because these people are not defensive at all. They're on the offense, and that's what high praisers are. They are the offense, praise God. They're the one that throws the ball. They're the receivers. They're the one that gets in the end zone. They're the ones that do the touchdown. They're the ones that have tremendous victory in your life. Friend, I want to tell you that most Christians are living subpar lives of what God expected them to live, because they simply do not realize the glory in becoming a high praiser. But if you will literally make that a part of your life, it's amazing how many things we work on. We'll go to the gym and work on our body. We'll take makeup and work on our face. We'll have our hair done. We'll practice hygiene. We'll go enroll in classes for self-esteem. We just work on so many things. But if we actually worked on becoming a high praiser, the amazing results would astound you. The way your life would change, praise God. You would see the Lord high and manifest in your life. You'd see His train fill the temple. You'd hear the voice of God. God would give you power, and suddenly you'd rise up above, and you would not be like they said you were going to be and like your cousins are. You would be a set-apart person because you know how to praise God, not just jiving with the music in a service, but praising God out there under the firmament of His power, praising God on your job, praising God wherever you go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got to quit. Praise God. Real quickly, let me tell you about Elizabeth. I've told you about her before. She was one of our first great victories in this church. And she came to church on a Wednesday night. I remember it was cold. It was a little later in this year. It's probably in January or February. It was cold and nasty that night. And I had a friend of mine preaching. Well, there wasn't 20 people there at night. She was a beautiful lady. She's about 5'8", 5'9", tall, beautiful Hispanic lady. And she came, and you could tell she had no idea where she was. She sat in the back seat, and my pastor friend preached a little message that night, and she just got up and walked down. The first time she's ever been in a Protestant church in her life, and she knelt down at that altar. She was just so broken that it was so easy for the Lord's Spirit to come on her. God filled her with the Holy Ghost that night. She went home and told her mother. I've told this story so many times, and I'll never forget it. She's moved way out of here. I got a telegram. On a birthday, I don't know, about 10 years ago right now, I got a telegram from her. Said, happy birthday, Liz. I looked at where the telegram, that's the only telegram I ever got in my life. It was from Canada. I don't know what she's doing in Canada. But anyway, I got that little telegram. That's all it said, happy birthday, Liz. And I knew exactly who it was. But she got filled with it. She went home and told her mother. And her mother was such a staunch Catholic, she literally would not let her spend the night in the house. She said, you get out of my house. She said, that's heresy, that's terrible, that's true. She said, you've blasphemed, on and on and on and on. She said, you were baptized as a Catholic, as a baby, right over at St. So-and-so in San Antonio. And she said, this is just terrible. I don't want anything. And she disowned her right there. She kept going back, trying to talk to her mother. Finally, her mother said, I'll tell you what, Liz. She said, let's go down and talk to Father So-and-so. He is the one that baptized you. Let's go down and talk to him. And so Liz was going to, and she was just an automatic praiser. And she worked with about 10 girls in a secretarial pool, and there's just such an amazing change in her that they'd ask her what happened. She said, well, I don't know, but she said, I don't know, exactly what the Bible says, but this is what happened. She would explain to them, and she helped 10 young women received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in her office pool. One of them was in a closet. They were in a broom closet because she was afraid that the boss was going to get mad. The boss over there, there they were with their hands lifted, praising God, speaking in tongues. Two Catholic girls that knew nothing about nothing except God loved them. And so her mother encouraged her to go down to talk to the priest and the father, and so she went down there. And so he talked with the woman. Finally said to her mother, said, "Will you excuse us? I need to talk to Elizabeth in private." So her mother got up and left. And they said, "Elizabeth, I've heard about this all of my life." He was an older priest. He said, "I've always wanted to experience that." He said, "Would you come around here and lay your hands on my head?" She laid her hands on the father's head right there in the rectory. He lifted his hands, and the power of God came on him. And God baptized him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then he brought her mother back in and said, "Leave Elizabeth alone. She's got something we all need." And so she took her back into the family. But it was all because of what God had done in her life, and she automatically was a praiser. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's not a situation in your life that can't be rectified if you would get into the praise that God has called us to. Stand on your feet if you would. And I really feel like there's somebody in this building that you're dealing with something in your life that's just, it's just like a plague. It just won't let you loose. You've tried to resolve the matter. You've tried to solve the problem. And it just doesn't get fixed. I really believe if you just get out of your pew and walk down this aisle right now and just begin to praise God, not ashamed, with open abandonment, just begin to praise God, that God would do what a lawyer can't do, that God would do what the boss can't do, God would do what you can't do, God would do what a banker can't do, God would do what a psychiatrist can't do, God would do what a doctor can't do. Friend, I believe that these things we eliminate out of the Scripture are exactly what the devil wants us to do. Keep eliminating things out of the Scripture until the church is just another schoolroom. But friend, we cannot eliminate praise because God has got so many hundreds of promises that are tied to real praise. If you're in this building and you need a legitimate miracle in your life, I want you to step out of your pew and walk down here right now and agree with me that